Guys, it's season two. Welcome to the premiere episode of season two of the Sports Hour podcast, revamped, renewed, back to a full-time weekly schedule. Peyton, Grady, Toby, Chuck, guys, what's going on?
What's up, BT? Season two is a go, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for the new setup. It's good to have the boys here. Can't wait to get into this. College football is, what, 3 weeks away? A little more than 3 weeks away. I'm so excited for it.
I think week zero is in the last week of August. So, yeah, 3 weeks away.
Football time. The time for the South is just the best time to grow. Wherever you go, it's just awesome. College football's back. The fall weather is perfect time to be alive.
Let me check in on everybody, because like we've got a lot of stuff going out. First of all, let me say this. We are now in video form too. So if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can also go check us out on YouTube. We're going to have our channel linked on our social. Season two, got to start off with a bang. Yeah, throw out those W's. We got it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a good season, doing a lot of fun stuff, hopefully, in the coming days. But also kind of a life update on everybody. First of all, Chuck, man, you're a freaking coach now. What's going on? Y'all've had your first day of school, right? You taught the first day of school, didn't you?
I did. I taught the first day of school. But I see what you're doing. You keep asking. Well, stop. Or whatever.
I'm not going to do it. So quit asking me.
Yeah, that's it. But no, I'm joking. I love it. I cut the field today. Just a bunch of stuff, and I still hadn't felt like I worked a day in my life yet, because I just love what I do.
Yeah, we were roasting you in the group chat, saying that you were the professor we all hated. You taught on syllabus day.
Well, I had an hour and 40 minutes. Like,
what did you teach?
Like, what else was I supposed to do? Algebra one? Or are you talking about like what?
Yeah, like what did you jump into first day of school? I mean, it's got to be something.
Equations, right into equations.
Man. Oh,
awesome!
Yep, right into them.
Toby, you've moved to Columbus. You're gone, man. You're now scamming people out at Car-Mart. I mean,
So I was living in Oxford up until about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Moved here for work. I decided I was just going to stay with Car-Mart for a while. Been doing my own thing. Got a nice apartment in quotations. So it's just, kind of just been working, still technically in school, but that should be over here in about 2 weeks when I finally finish that Spanish class.
Come on. Got a B in the first Spanish class, didn't you?
I did. I got a B. Went from I won't say what I made in the last class, but made a B in this one. So I'll just make.
It was completely honest too, wasn't it?
It was 100%, man. I hit the books. Definitely didn't do the whole semester in 4 days. Didn't do that.
Google Translate for the win.
Did you know that Google Translate, if you take a picture of the screen, it'll translate the whole screen for you? I didn't know
Wait,
if you
really?
Knew that or not. Yeah, it Dude, does. That, it's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Anybody who's ever taken a foreign language knows that trick, huh?
Yeah. Grady. I don't think any of y'all had to take a foreign language, though.
No, I took four.
Oh, that is high school Spanish does not count.
No, I took four in college.
Did you really?
Took them all from Northeast, though.
Oh, okay. So,
Mickey Mouse.
So you took it. You took it in 13th grade.
Exactly. Yeah, I took it in 13th and 14th grade. So, yeah. But Grady, what about you, man? You're a Vol now. That kind of goes in with today's discussion. You're a Vol.
Well, as you can tell, though, I'm sort of back home. I've got the shrine of the chosen son behind me. But I'm back home right now. I'm doing classes online through PT school in Knoxville. So I'm back home, back with the parents, not in Oxford anymore. And it's sort of sad having to Zoom in with the boys, but it's good to have this experience now. We do have Zoom Pro, so we can go longer than just 30 minutes on our Zooms now. So we can go for an hour. New upgrade for season two for the pod listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you that listen. But I'm back home. I'm enjoying PT school. Like I told Toby before we started, I'm almost done with my first semester, and it's going pretty smoothly right now. I'll go up there for my labs the last week of August. I'll be back at the 1st of September. So I hope to be back that Friday night on September 2nd, and hope to be in Oxford that September 3rd in the Grove with the boys. So That's the plan right now.
Also, man, I can't wait till you finish PT school so you can buy that beach house and we can all come down there here in about 2 years from now. So we're all really excited for that.
$80,000 of student debt and I'll buy my beach house. So when I'm 80 years old, you can come stay in it.
our back pain. We're sitting there. We can't even cast a reel to try to fish out there. Our back hurts so bad.
Might have arthritis in our knees and feet, but at least we'll see it from the back.
At least we got a physical therapist.
That's right. I'll be working on your arthritis then. You're welcome.
And then Coach Spencer, Coach Chuck, he's finally won his like 15th state championship ring by that time.
I'll be in the Mississippi
team while we're 80.
You'll still be teaching by that time, except you'll be teaching in Tennessee. You're going for that second retirement.
The second retirement, huh?
Wait. I just realized something, I think. He wasn't on our last episode. Chuck, I think this is the first episode you've been on since you were a national champion.
No, I was on.
Wait. Is it not? Or was it? You weren't on the one that I was on.
We did talk about that one time. Yep.
Gotcha. I wasn't on that episode. Yeah. That was the episode I missed. First time I've seen you since you're a national champion. That's
crazy. It's crazy. Like we all live about an hour from each other, but we haven't seen each other in 2.5 months.
Because we're all selfish.
It's true. We all were.
Tubby has this handlebar mustache. He went to go see Maverick one too many times, and he just had to transition to that
thing. I'm not going to lie, man. But living here, like I said, starting a new job, just living here by myself. I got bored one night, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to shave the beard, go
mustache. Do you have a motorcycle? So, yes or no?
I do not have a motorcycle.
Then it doesn't count, and you got to cut it off.
I've got an 07 Impala.
If you don't fly on an F-14 or you don't have a mustache, I mean, a motorcycle, you cannot have that mustache.
That 07 Impala gets 12 miles to the gallon in town because the evap leak it has.
That's awful.
Oh, my God.
Does it go dead in the Zaxby's parking lot? That's the question.
It doesn't. It's got a brand new battery, brand new stuff. It's got brand new connectors on there.
You know what runs like a Chevy Impala that's got 12 miles to the gallon?
What?
The Vanderbilt football program, which is going to segue us into our discussion today.
They got a first place vote in the Sports Illustrated edition this year for SEC. Gosh,
dude, I don't know who in the SEC voted the first place, but
I feel like that's something like Paul Feinbaum would do, just to troll. I feel like it's something he would do.
Well, you know, the
needs to be revoked right now, though, is all I know.
Well, you know, the Ole Miss beat writer for the Daily Journal, Michael Katz, he's like, if you follow his Twitter, he's kind of like big into meme culture. Like he appreciates all that stuff. So like I saw a couple of people that were like accusing him of being the person that voted for Vanderbilt because he had a vote, but he said it was not him. So who knows? But I can tell you in the Sports Hour pod, conclusive voting of the SEC East, Vanderbilt did not get a first place vote. I am sad to inform you guys.
Did not happen.
We're going to be posting tomorrow. Would y'all like to hear it, the rankings?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, let's start in last place. We knew it was going to be Vanderbilt. Last place votes across the board. But from that spot on, no team was unanimous in their spot. Missouri at 6. Florida at 5. South Carolina at 4. Tennessee at 3. Kentucky at 2, and as most of us expected, Georgia at 1. So the pretty much the lineup most people have and how we ranked it. However, Georgia did not get every first place vote. I will tell you guys that.
I'm going to guess the other first place vote was either Kentucky or Tennessee.
You would be correct. Georgia got 6 out of 7 first place votes. Kentucky got 1 first place vote.
Yeah, I'm not as high on us Kentucky. Like I said, in my vote, I voted for Kentucky to finish second. I think they're going to be really good this year, but there's no way they're going to have the same record or a better record as Georgia. Georgia is my prediction to win the entire SEC this year. Spoilers, but it's just like I think Georgia's going to repeat, and do we really believe that Kentucky can back that up and win 11 plus games? I just don't see it.
Chuck raised his hand. Chuck, go ahead.
All right. So are we allowed to say who it was?
I guess you kind of said it right now anyway. But, yeah, go ahead.
My reason was I think you got in the East, you got Georgia and Kentucky, and then everybody else is like pretty much the same. You got Tennessee, who's like that middle tier, but everybody else is like bottom feeders just about. November, late in November, the Georgia Bulldogs go up to Kentucky to play a ball game. And with N'Kobe Dean and all that, all the defense leaving, and, you know, Georgia's offense wasn't that good last year anyway. And now that stellar defense lost its captain. Kentucky has their quarterback and the running back, Chris Rodriguez, coming back. I think it sets up perfectly for Kentucky to win the East. It's my whole life for them to actually do it. And I think they get it done. But
yeah. But this is also this is a Kentucky team that's coming off last year where they sputtered a little bit throughout the year for most of their guys on offense and defense. But it's just like a team that, you know, was not necessarily middle of the pack. I'm not saying they were middle of the pack last year because they were really good, but it's just like, you know, they sputtered late in the season. And I think Kirby Smart is too good of a head coach to let a Georgia team get beat by Kentucky, if that just makes sense. Like, I'm not saying he's going to downplay Kentucky, but it's just Kirby Smart's too good to let that happen.
I just don't think they have the offense to do it. I'm about to hate on a national champion, but I don't think Stetson Bennett can go win a ball game. I think he's like – to me, he's a quarterback who doesn't lose you ball games. But also he's not one – like, he has before, but he's not consistently like, hey, here's the ball, go win it for us. Well, like,
this is a Georgia team that lost a lot on defense. They lost, I think, 8 of their 11 starters to the draft, or is it 7 to 11? Something like those two numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but it's the same Georgia team that returned basically every single person on offense that started for them last year.
Well, let me I was gonna say, Chuck, I'll let you have a word, but then after that, let's go kind of from the bottom up, because we're going to have plenty of time to talk about Georgia, Kentucky, but we want to, you know, focus on every team in this episode.
Well, my turn?
Yeah, you can finish up your point you're making.
I forgot what I was saying.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, let's start from the bottom. It is Vanderbilt. In fact, everybody had them at 7th. So let me ask you guys. I know Toby told me, but I want to get kind of everybody's thoughts. Let's start here talking about the East. What do we think the bottom tier of the East is? Do we think it's 1-11? Do we think it, or do we think it's more maybe along the lines of like 5-7, 6-6, or somewhere in the middle? Where do you think it is? Toby, I know yours, so I'll start with you.
So since it started, like I told you earlier, but I think the bottom tier of the SEC is Vanderbilt. They have a really tough schedule. I think even in their non-conference games, I think they have an easy schedule in the non-conference.
Vanderbilt's got Hawaii in week 0. They've got Elon first week of the season. They have Wake Forest. Wake Forest will beat them. Then they have Northern Illinois. I think that's 3 wins for Vanderbilt.
So based off my prediction, I said 3-9. I said 3-9 going 0-8 in the SEC.
I think they'll win 1, maybe 2 SEC games this year.
All right, who do you think – okay, when we're talking about the tiers of the SEC East, because they're not beating anybody in the SEC West. Ole Miss is going to beat them by 45 points. Who in the SEC East do you actually believe Vanderbilt can beat?
They can beat South Carolina at home, and they can beat Missouri on the road. I believe that.
I just don't see that as good as South Carolina was in the recruiting cycle and the transfer portal – I think South Carolina is just so much better than Vanderbilt. I just don't see that happening.
I think
Rattler is not going to be as good as people expect him to be.
I think you look at another one, November 19th, Florida, right before Florida is going to play Florida State. I think that's a very winnable game as well.
Me too. That's number one for me. I think they might win. And then also Missouri on the road, and then Vanderbilt is my third one that might win. That's in the SEC. I think they'll beat Hawaii that first game. They're playing on the road, but I think they'll be better than Hawaii. They're going to beat Elon. I don't think Elon's a very good – I mean, I didn't even know Elon had a football team. So, I'm going to go with Vanderbilt in that one as well. And then Northern Illinois, I think it's a toss-up, but I think Vanderbilt will beat them as well.
Because
Wake Forest is pretty bad. They play Wake Forest at home, though.
But Wake Forest.
Only 3 out of 4 of those games.
Wake Forest returns Sam Hartman at quarterback on a team that was a top tier offensive team last year. Right. I don't see that happening. But the thing I think is going to be key for Vanderbilt is you look at it, they have one of the worst three game stretches of any team in the SEC. They are at Alabama, Ole Miss at home, at Georgia. That's maybe the worst three game stretch in the SEC.
You just hope you get out of the three games without getting beat 80 to nothing and not getting anybody hurt. That's
exactly. If Vanderbilt can get out of that with minimal injuries and keeping their spirits somewhat existent, they'll have a chance to win one or two. Because I like Clark Lea. I think he's a little – I mean, he's unproven as a head coach, but he really impressed me in media days with how he talked. And that's the – you know, when you're rebuilding a program, the first thing you got to do is establish culture. And he seems like a guy that really wants to do exactly that. He wants to focus on establishing a culture. So and along with that, Vanderbilt returns 13 starters. So they return 7 on the offensive side of the ball, 6 on defense. That's huge for a team that was very bad on offense last year to return that much experience. So I see Vanderbilt winning 4 or 5. I'm like you, Grady. I think they pick up an SEC win along the way. I'm not sure who it will be, but I think, you know, Missouri's obviously a top candidate, like we said. But I think this year in the East, pretty much anybody is going to be capable of surprising anybody, except maybe Vanderbilt and Georgia. But besides that,
I'm with that. I 100% agree with that. Like you said, though, I think that coming off the Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia week, that's when they play Missouri at Missouri. So I think they'll get beat even worse against Missouri. But I think they'll be able to bounce back against South Carolina. I think South Carolina will still beat them 3 or 4 touchdowns. Then they get Kentucky. Then it's that Florida game at home. I think that'll be big for them in that game, because I don't think that – well, they could beat Florida at home, then they get – I mean, Tennessee at home as well. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting.
Based off what you just said, where they play Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, South Carolina,
Missouri.
They play Missouri and then South Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. And so by that statement, to me, that's 4 losses. Okay.
Yeah.
That is a very defeated Vanderbilt team that I don't think coming into Florida or getting Florida, I don't think they would play up to try to win that ball game after getting destroyed. Hopefully destroyed. I think we'll beat them and just dominated, and then probably lose close, if not by 2 or 3 touchdowns.
But think about what you just said, though. Vanderbilt and utterly defeated happens every year.
Yeah.
I mean, what changes for them this year? The only thing that they like, they get to go play football. So why not go out there and play as hard as they can every game?
But
and
here's
what happened. But maybe it will this year.
Here's my thing. If Clark Lea can establish just the basic culture, which the basic culture is, I don't care if it's Vanderbilt, and I don't care if you're looking across the field in Alabama. The culture you need to establish, to the baseline culture of any program, is it don't matter who's on the other sideline and who we are. We are D1 college football players. We can beat anybody we look across sidelines. We may have to play incredibly perfect to do it, but we can do it. And so if you can establish that culture, even if you lose big to teams like Alabama, Georgia, you're not going in expecting, okay, well, let's just try to keep this within a few touchdowns. You're going in. You should be going in expecting, even if you are Vanderbilt, saying, we can win this game.
Other than the guy that's on complete crack in Sports Illustrated that voted for them to win the East this year, nobody – I don't think even the coach expects them to do a lot in the East this year. Nobody expects them to be bowl eligible this year. But if 4 or 5 years down the line, you can look back on this year and said, we fought – against Missouri, we fought against Florida, we fought against Tennessee. 4 or 5 years down the line, you can say, when we fought then, that made us who we are now. When down the road, they're going to win 7, 8, maybe 9 games. And I don't know if Vanderbilt will, but I like the coach they have now, and I think he's got a good attitude going forward.
It's possible for Vanderbilt to do that, and I'm going to wrap it up here and we'll move on to the 6th spot, but it's possible. I mean, you saw James Franklin had Vanderbilt winning 8, 9 games a year, beating ranked Georgia teams, beating ranked Florida teams. I mean, it's possible to do, because Vanderbilt, yeah, they have high academic standards and a low history of success in football, but it has been done before. So, you know, I will be interesting to see how Clark Lea can do.
Speaking about real quick to James Franklin, I'll let you – like, imagine, like, if we could take a scenario, if that Penn State job doesn't open up when it does, how much better of a program would Vanderbilt have been if James Franklin would have stayed there 2 or 3 more years?
I can say that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think you can say that, just because, you know, Vanderbilt's the type of program with their academic standards that if they're not – the right man's not leading them every year, it's quick for a program like that to fall off. Chuck, you had a point.
Just look up all the that's just an excuse a lot of Vanderbilt people have. There's not academic standards, anything different from Ole Miss or anything else. If they're an athlete, like they get stuff done to let them into school. Like,
and just looking speaking from a baseball perspective, of course they got those dudes. You see the TikToks all the time, the Vanderbilt commit. They're going to get those guys in baseball, and there's no excuse for them, especially in that sport. So I get where you're coming from, Chuck.
Well, let's move on to six, which was Missouri. Missouri was voted six by everybody in our poll except one person, and we're going to start with him. It was Mr. Grady. Grady, you had Missouri at five. Can you explain why you didn't have them in the sixth spot? You know, what was your thought process behind that?
Okay, I had Missouri, and then five was that South Carolina?
You had Missouri at five, and you had Florida at six.
Okay, so me and Tubby were talking about this before the pod started, how I was thinking that Florida with Billy Napier, in all honesty, I don't think he's a very good coach. I don't think he's a very good recruiter either. I think I sort of compared him to Dan Mullen, and where he's a guy that can get the two-star, three-star and make him a better player. And my example was Dak Prescott with Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. He got a guy that was middle of the ways, even like Nick Fitzgerald. I mean, the only other team that offered Nick Fitzgerald out of high school was UT Chattanooga. They brought him in and made him a perennial, really good football player at Mississippi State. And I think Napier's the same guy at Florida. I think he's a really good developer, but I don't know how good he's going to be with recruiting at the University of Florida. So that's why I put Missouri in front of him. I think it's going to be a bumpy first year. I know, wasn't Napier at Memphis at one time? Is that right?
Napier, I don't – he might have been an assistant at Memphis, but he was never the head coach at Memphis.
Okay, but that's what I think right now. I just think that it's going to be a bumpy first year for him. So that's why I put Missouri in front of him. And they get Auburn out of the West, which is not going to be very good this year either. So I think that's going to be a win for them in the SEC. They get Florida on the road, and I think they can beat Florida on the road. They get Vanderbilt at home. We talked about that. South Carolina on the road. They get Kentucky at home. Tennessee on the road. And they get Arkansas at home. So that's an interesting backside for them.
See, and I you know, I don't really know if I agree with you talking about recruiting, Grady, because I'm looking back at their last few classes, and because I've wondered that same thing, you know, because that's the big question about a guy that comes from a group of five school. Can he recruit at a Power Five level? And this is a guy that's bringing in 24, 20, 26 recruits in his last three classes. And in all three classes, 90% of them were three stars, in which, you know, I know you said two or three star guys, but let's look at it. You know, I saw somebody talking about it once. It puts it in perspective. You're four, five, and four stars. People act like every team should be poaching five or six of them. Five and four stars make up like maybe 10% of a recruiting class. Like,
unless you're Georgia or Alabama.
Yeah, unless you're Georgia or Alabama. But like, you know, out of the players listed, like when you get to the end of the ESPN 300, you're basically at the end of the four stars. So I don't think you can really put a star account in there. What's impressive to me is a guy like Napier at Louisiana Lafayette, a team that's perennially with 7 or 8 wins in the Sun Belt, taking them to 11 win seasons and having 90% of their class be three stars. That's, for me, that's good recruiting at Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah. I think before we started, me and Grady was talking about this, I know we're talking about Missouri, but real quick, I know we're going to talk about Florida in a second, but Brian Kelly made a statement a couple of days ago, and they asked him, because, you know, he left a top 10 team in Notre Dame, a top 10, you know, when you think about college football, Notre Dame is in your top 10 all time. Okay. No ifs, ands, or buts. We come back to where a guy like that takes LSU and he says, I don't care where you're from California, you know, Texas, Louisiana, wherever, you're going to come play football at LSU because we're LSU. Billy Napier is the same way. When you think of a Florida program that's won two national championships in the past 15 years, they're a perennial powerhouse in the East. You can recruit at Florida just simply saying, I want you to come play for the Gators. Now, mm-hmm. You know, you have to contend with Alabama and Georgia, who is close to you, Florida State, who's had a couple of step backs. But again, Florida State's another one when you take top 20 programs in college, you think of Florida State. But I think when it comes to the grounds of Missouri, where I had them ranked, you know, I had them ranked six, I haven't seen anything really from Missouri in their recruiting or the portal coming off last year where they wasn't very good last year. And yeah, they returned a lot of people, but it's kind of the same thing with them that I just, they don't look on paper like they're anything other than a bottom, you know, a bottom two SEC team to me. And I think Billy Napier could be really good at Florida because he can recruit just on the fact that, you know, he's coaching for the Gators.
I want to bring it up because, you know, talking about each class, Missouri brought in, including transfers, you know, using the 247. Some people don't like it. I like including recruits and transfers in their new ranking because I think it gives you a better idea. But Missouri did bring in the 18th best class. They bring in a five-star guy wide receiver Luther Burden from East St. Louis, bringing him in, bringing a four-star quarterback in Sam Horn. So this is, and they bring back Connor Bazelak, obviously. So this is a Missouri team that can go. Drinkwitz has done, I would say, pretty well in his first 2 years there. Nothing groundbreaking, but he's got Missouri consistently at around six wins, and I think that's about where I would have them this year because you look at their schedule, and they start Middle Tennessee State. That's a win. At Kansas State, I think Kansas State's going to be a pretty dang good team this year. I would chalk that up to an early L, but it's a winnable game, but it's an early L for me. Abilene Christian, New Mexico State round out the non-conference slate. So you're 3-1 in non-conference. You've got Vanderbilt. You're at Auburn first SEC weekend. I think that's a very winnable game for Missouri. At South Carolina is a winnable game. At Florida is a winnable game. I would even go as far to say Kentucky at home could be a winnable game if you catch them right. So I think this Missouri team has the upside, especially with Bazelak coming back, because a returning quarterback can do wonders for you. But I also don't think the talent is quite there yet for them to break into the 8-win seasons that your 5 and up are going
to
have.
I know when we're talking real quick, it's just so hard to win on the road in the SEC. You're talking about at Auburn. I don't think Auburn's going to be very good, but it's so hard to win at Jordan O'Hare Stadium.
And it is.
It's so incredibly hard, no matter how bad Florida is, to win at the Swamp. And, you know, that's two games that, you know, if it was played at Missouri, you could probably say it's more likely they're going to win, but it's so hard to win on the road. I don't see them beating Auburn, even though I don't think Auburn's going to be very good, just because they're playing at Jordan O'Hare.
Chuck, thoughts from you on Missouri?
You know, I think they're kind of in that tier with Tennessee, like, kind of that middle tier. They don't have the ceiling that Tennessee has, but I think what they'll do this season will be right there with what Tennessee's record is, or at least in the SEC.
You know,
what do you think? I see Toby's distaste in his face.
Well, I think I kind of see it because when I looked at it first, I was like, really, Chuck? But then I look at it and I think really, 3-6 is about wide open in the SEC East. I think any of those four teams, you could slot them anywhere. And if you told me that at the end of the season, like if you told me Missouri was 3 at the end of the season, I would be a little bit like, wow, you really good season for them. But I wouldn't be shocked. Like, oh my gosh, like they're third. So, like, are you serious?
Everybody else is just sort of middle of the ways.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I would think that for sure.
I think you got the top two and the bottom two. And then pretty much everybody else is around the same talent level.
So let's talk about, you know, that middle of the pack here in number 5, Florida. We talked about, obviously, just for a minute, Napier with them. Grady had them at 6. Toby had them at 5. I had them at 5. Buzz had them at 5. Chuck had them at 5. But John, who is not with us, by the way, got a shout out to John. Congrats on getting engaged, my man. That's freaking awesome. Everybody throw them up for him. But John had Florida at 2nd. The highest of anybody in this ranking. So he is obviously high on the Gators. As a lot of people are, I see a lot of people saying Florida's going to have a rebuilding year ahead of them, so they're going to be 6th. But I see some people saying that they return 8 defensive starters. So I see a lot of people saying that could have them as high as 2nd or 3rd in the East.
I got something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, what I want to talk about is the first two games of the year, you're going to tell what Florida's made of. And the first two games is this. They play Utah, and they play them in the Swamp. Utah was in the Rose Bowl last year, and they should have won that game. They should have beat Ohio State because Ohio State didn't have anybody there, and Utah was bringing all the energy. Of course, Ohio State, I think, was just ultimately more talented than they were, and they ended up winning in the end. But that'll be a test to start off with Billy Napier at home that first weekend in September. Then they get Kentucky at home, and that's the team that we're talking about. They got a first-place vote in our poll. They get Kentucky at home, and they play South Florida at home, so that's not a very hard game. The next – two very important SEC matchups they have. They play Texas A&M at Texas A&M. I think that's going to be a loss for them. And they also play Tennessee at Tennessee. So yeah. those are tough ball games. Four really, really tough ball games that will define the season for the Gators this year, I feel like.
Florida has one of the – go ahead, Toby.
I was just say, I like how you made the statement, you know, how is Florida going to be? You know, right then, game one when you get Utah. Because I personally believe Utah's going to win the Pac-12, and they're going to win it pretty handily, in my personal opinion.
I agree with that.
But I think Florida, I had them at five, okay? I think Florida is one of those teams where you're talking about where 3-6 is wide open. Florida, to me, fits that mold perfectly, way above Missouri because, again, I like Billy Napier. I liked him at UL Lafayette. I thought it was a good hire. And I believe personally that Florida is one of those teams that coming in where, you returned a lot of really good talent that I think, you play a lot of games at home. You get a lot of good teams at home. If you can just squeak out a couple wins, a couple close wins, that can carry you an entire season. We've seen it. We've seen it multiple times where a team early in the season won a game by 2 or 3 points and they went on and did really good things in the SEC. I think Florida fits that mold perfectly over a team like Missouri, that even though I had them at five, just because they're in a rebuilding year, I personally believe that, you know, they could easily be number three, even in number four, even personally number two.
Florida has the two keys that you need to be top two, top three in the SEC, which is a lot of returning starters on defense and a returning quarterback in Anthony Richardson. And Richardson showed a lot of flashes last year of the talent he has. He was at one point one of the most talked about quarterbacks in the SEC because of his raw talent he showed in kind of his weekly battle with Emory Jones for the starting quarterback spot. So I think it'll depend on how he adapts to Napier's system. But Florida has got the pieces. Now, what is against them, like Grady pointed out, they have one of the hardest schedules in all college football. Utah, Kentucky, at Tennessee, Missouri, LSU, Georgia, at Texas A&M, at Florida State, South Carolina. They have one of the toughest schedules in the nation, much less the SEC. But if they can weather the storm, if they can go 1-1 between Utah and Kentucky, find a way to win one of those, Florida's set up for a very good season this year. Grady, go ahead.
So last year, their defense allowed almost 30 points per game last year. That's a lot of points for a defense, especially in the SEC, because, I mean, when you think of the SEC, what do you think of? You think of running the football, and you think of playing defense. And that's not very good. I mean, you give up 26.77 points per game last year. They were 6-7, 2-6. And, of course, that's with a different head coach. We'll see a different change in philosophy next year. But it's going to be interesting to see how they come back from that next year and see how they do, especially against a team like Utah and a team like Kentucky, who's going to run the ball, who's going to try and get it down the throat. Because Kentucky last year, and I think this year, they're probably ranked in the top five in the nation in offensive lines. So it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with the offensive running game, especially this year moving forward.
Let's – oh, Chuck, go ahead, and then we will move on to Florida.
I was just – oh, okay. We're talking about Florida, not Kentucky. My bad. Keep going.
No. You're good. You're good. Let's move to number four, South Carolina. South Carolina was picked fourth by everybody except John, who had them at third, and I, which, guys, I kept my rankings proud from you. I have South Carolina at second. That is my surprise. Wow. And, South Carolina returns the most starters in the SEC East with 15. They return 8 on the offensive side of the ball, which is not including their quarterback, which will be most likely Spencer Rattler. 7 on the defensive ball side of the ball. Shane Beamer in his last year. I was not a believer in Shane Beamer. I thought that was going to be a flop of a hire by South Carolina. However, dude comes out, has them go they either went 7-6 or an 8-5, winning their bowl game in the Belt Bowl. Showed a lot of good flashes last year. I like what Beamer's doing. I think Rattler is going to be improved under Beamer, and also learning his lesson from what happened at Kentucky, having his job taken. They have a schedule that is difficult, but at the same time, your toughest non-conference game is Clemson, but every other non-conference game is an easy win. You get Arkansas early in the season, and so you get Georgia early in the season as well, which is when I think you're going to want to catch those teams. Texas A&M at home, which anything can happen at South Carolina when you're playing a Williams-Bryce as well as they also get Tennessee late in the season at home. So this is a tough schedule, but I like what South Carolina's doing. I think they're going to end up as the surprise team this year going second. Grady, go ahead.
So you sort of talked about the schedule a little bit, but something that I want to get into that with is they play Arkansas, but they play Arkansas on the road. Toby's talked about this with us this year, with Ole Miss this year. I say us, but Ole Miss this year. That's one place that feels like a trap game for Ole Miss this year. And I feel like with South Carolina early in the year with I'm not sure who Arkansas starts with, but I'm sure it's September 3rd. It'll probably be FCS school or somebody that's not very good. And then they jump into that South Carolina game. That's going to be a tough game to win for South Carolina, especially with Spencer Rattler with his first SEC experience. I think that'll be a tough one to win. Then they get Georgia at home. And I'm pretty sure – I don't think anybody would disagree with me. I think Georgia would handle them pretty easily. And then they get South Carolina State. I think they'll beat them. And then they get Kentucky on the road. Then they get A&M. That's a bumpy road. That's a tough few games for them there. But, of course, when you play SEC football, you're going to have a bumpy road. But I'm eager to see how they make it through that stretch in that early part of the year.
Yeah, so for me personally, there's two key reasons for South Carolina. And I personally believe one is Spencer Rattler, who I wanted to come to Ole Miss so bad because I really liked him at Oklahoma. I thought he was really good at Oklahoma. He made some He made some boneheaded decisions. I won't even lie. There was a couple games that he cost Oklahoma because of his decision making. But again, we're coming to that second point, Shane Beamer, who I personally really liked after Clemson last year when they got beat by 30 points, 30 to nothing. He cut his promo after the game or interview after the game, and he was talking about it. He said, this doesn't define our program. A 30 to nothing loss to Clemson does not define us. So I believe personally that coming off a 6-6 season where, you know, I think they also won their bowl game, correct? Or played in a bowl game one.
The Dukes bowl against North Carolina.
Yeah. I think that's going to carry them into this year where South Carolina is going to be a team that could possibly upset a couple key teams on the way, you know, whoever it may be, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Florida, whether it's who else do they get, Kentucky, somebody like that. I personally think that they have a shot to upset somebody. I could even say put Clemson on upset alert against them. You're also muted, Peyton.
I did not realize that I was muted. Sorry. I would like to point out that Spencer Rattler is also playing for Shane Beamer, who was his offensive coordinator when he was a Heisman candidate in his freshman season.
The only reason he didn't go to Ole Miss was because of that. That's the only reason.
So, regardless, does anybody have any thoughts on South Carolina before we move on? All right.
They're the wild card in the East this year. I mean, like you said, 3-6. They could be 3. They could be 6. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Let's move on to 3. Tennessee. That's who we have at number 3. I have them at 3rd. Toby has them at 3rd. Grady has them at 3rd. Chuck has them at 3rd. So everybody here has them at 3rd. Buzz has them at 2nd. And John has them at 4th. So the Vols, we know they bring back Hendon Hooker. Tennessee plays at maybe the only team in the country that plays at a faster offensive pace than Ole Miss, and they return 8 starters on the opposite side of the ball. Guys, that offense is going to be disgusting this year. They return 6 starters on the defensive side of the ball. I think you would be kind of a fool to not have Tennessee, as much as it pains me to say it, to not have them as a top 3 team in the East this year. Not only that, they have a very manageable non-conference schedule at Pittsburgh being their toughest game, but with Pittsburgh losing Jordan Addison and Kenny Pickett, 1 to the draft, 1 to the transfer portal, Pittsburgh is not going to be near as tough. They'll still be decent. Not an easy game, but I think Tennessee goes 4-0 in that slate. They start off with Florida, and they draw LSU out of the West this year, which is the best team besides Auburn you could have drawn out of the West, especially early in the year since they get them first 5 weeks. This is a Tennessee team that has their schedule set up. They have Georgia. They have Georgia on the road, but they have Alabama at home. They've been waiting for that illustrious win over them in the last 15 seasons. So they also get Kentucky at home. This is a schedule that lines up perfectly for Tennessee to make a run as a top 2 team in the East this year. If not, definitely I think their floor is top 3 or 4.
This is something that I want to talk about, and we saw this firsthand last year as Ole Miss fans. Neyland Stadium is 2 touchdowns before the game even starts. Mm-hmm. I think I can agree with that. I think Ole Miss was 3 touchdowns better than Tennessee last year. But when 110,000 people get going, it's going to be a ball game no matter who steps in that on that field. And I feel like Tennessee, with that behind their backs every game, I don't think there's a team that can come in there and put it on their head, especially with the offense like you had described going into this year.
If Neyland Stadium is in it and they are rocking, it's a top five toughest place to play in college football.
110,000 people, it's tough to play in.
Chuck, go ahead.
Tennessee reminds me of last year, reminded me of Lane Kiffin's first year with the Rebels. Not very good defensively, but, you know, their offense was explosive. And they were in some tight games, like, or competitive at least, with some top teams. And I think this could be a breakout year for Tennessee. It's all going to be on quarterback. I think his last name's Hooker, right?
Hendon Hooker, right. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't pronounce his first name. But, yeah, I think it's all going to ride on him. Can he have a year like Matt Corral did this year? And I think Tennessee, you know, we all had him at three. That's kind of a more, like, safe pick. But, like, if they were beat Kentucky or Alabama too, and, like, maybe let's say a Georgia upset, you know.
Tennessee is the first team that we've called out on this list where their ceiling is winning the East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks. As good as I think South Carolina can be, South Carolina cannot win the East this year. Tennessee is the first team that we called off that I think, like, if you told me they win the East at the end of the year, I would be like, I'm not really surprised. Like, I mean, I'm surprised they beat Georgia, but just, like, I'm not shocked. Like, it's like, you know, I saw that potential there.
Yeah. So speaking of it, you know, I had Tennessee three. The reason being is I still think Tennessee is going to win nine games. Okay. But personally, I believe Tennessee is set up to beat somebody. And I know it's going to make sense when I explain it. They're going to upset somebody. Okay. And we talked about it just a second. We beat around it a second. When you're talking about that illustrious game that they've tried to get at Neyland and it hasn't happened in a while, when Alabama comes to town. Spoilers into the next. I don't think Alabama goes undefeated because I believe, you know, Tennessee is poised to have a breakout. You was talking about it last year. They felt a little defeated because they played really good on offense, but that defense wasn't there. And that's the reason why they lost. That defense is going to come up and try to prove something. And I personally think when Alabama comes to town, Tennessee is going to have that moment, and it's going to be Alabama, because I think Tennessee, coming off last year where they played down a little bit, it's time for them to kind of rise up, and I think Tennessee's finally going to do that this year.
Toby, if I can – I will give you respect for that pick. If for no other reason, they're not playing that game on the third Saturday in October this year. They're playing it in the second, which is a travesty, because the live rivalry is literally named third Saturday in October. That's a travesty. Shame on USC office. But this is a Tennessee team that, with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, had Alabama within one score on the road in Bryant Denny last year. They ended up losing by 28. Yeah, it's ridiculous how that happens, but that's Alabama. But even still, Tennessee played Alabama about as close as anybody did besides Texas A&M and Georgia last year.
Yeah, and I just know, like, probably going in that game, they'll probably be, what, 7-2? Not 7-2, they'd be 3-1.
They could be undefeated. They could be 5-0.
They play LSU in Death Valley the week before. I think that's a big telling point to how that game goes to the next week. If they can beat LSU in Death Valley, I think they come out guns a-blazing. And I think, like I said, they start out with a 2-touchdown lead in Neyland, especially if they're 7-2, 8-1 going into that game.
I just hate how Ole Miss and Tennessee is, like, the way we play each other. We only play each other for 6 years. I wish we got them again in Vol-Hema West Stadium. I wish we did, man.
5-0 Tennessee versus 5-0 Alabama for Tennessee trying to win at home against Alabama for the first time in 15 years. I would probably try to have to pack up and go to that game, because that would
– I'll be there.
Neyland would be unbelievable that weekend.
So, yep. Real quick, I want us talking about that, the moment I just said. Would you guys be okay? I know it's the Chucky Mullins game. Would you guys be okay with trading Tennessee for Vanderbilt every single year?
No.
We played one of our two East games is Tennessee.
Automatic win. Automatic win.
You don't want to change for Tennessee. Tennessee's too good. So, you want to keep that game. Toby, you don't want to change –
That's the, like, thing is like, I feel like Ole Miss is on the verge of being a really good program again, like a great program again.
Doesn't matter.
And I just hate playing Vanderbilt every year. I can't stand Vanderbilt.
I love it.
I don't consider them a rival. It's like a bye week. It's a bye week. Yeah. And it doesn't give me any motivation, which I watch football because I watch Ole Miss. It gives me no motivation to
Who
watch
cares?
Them. Beat them by 45 points.
It's a free win.
And then we talk about last year when Ole Miss and Tennessee played. It was one of the best games of the season. I don't, the whole everybody that played Ole Miss Tennessee was one of the best games of the year.
I'm not entertaining this anymore. Kentucky number two. Kentucky is who everybody had at number two. Well, no, not everybody. Sorry. Toby had them at number two. Grady had them at number two. I had them at number four. John had them at five, and Chuck had them at number one. Chuck, we'll start with you. Was it just to be different? Was it just to make sure Georgia wasn't unanimous, or what do you think about this Kentucky team?
No, I think it's Kentucky's going to be really good, and Kentucky has Georgia Bulldogs at home late in November. And I just don't think Georgia's going to have the offense or the defense to beat Kentucky. Like, their defense is going to be stellar, but it's not going to be stellar like it was last year with, what, they let teams average 12 points a game, something ridiculous.
I mean, quick way to rebuttal that. Mark Stoops is right here. Okay. Here's Mark Stoops. He's chilling here. Here's Kirby Smart. It's not even close when we talk about comparison to head coaches.
Not even close when you talk about the program tradition. It's a lot easier to win at Georgia than it is at Kentucky.
But that's the thing. Georgia is just so much better of a team than Kentucky is. Not even, you know, when we talk about, okay, they lost a lot on defense. They lost a lot. Okay. They replaced everybody was on it with all their backups who were five stars. Okay. So they replaced five stars with five stars. Okay. That's worked for Alabama for 20 years. It can work for Georgia again. So it just doesn't really make sense, because I think that there's a clear difference between Kentucky and Georgia.
I would like to say, I feel like I need to interject myself, because Chuck had them at one, and out of us speaking, I had Kentucky the lowest at four. Here's one. Kentucky is going to be a good football team. However, three things actually. Number one, Kentucky returns the lowest amount of starters, tied with Georgia in the East with 10. They return five on offense, five on defense. And like Toby said, unlike Georgia, they are not stacked up on five stars to replace them right behind. Kentucky's going to have some growing pains. Number two, the schedule, I think, is tough for Kentucky. Non-conference is nothing. Fine, whatever. However, at Florida, second week of the season, that is prime upset for Billy Napier to win his first big game at Florida. At Ole Miss is going to be four games in the season by then. They'll have the quarterback figured out. The defense is going to be rolling. South Carolina at home. I've already told you, I think South Carolina is going to be set my second team in the East. Mississippi State at home, but Kentucky traditionally does not fare well against Mississippi State. I think State's going to be very good this year. I think finally this is going to be the year it clicks for Mississippi State with Mike Leach. It's at Kentucky, but still. At Tennessee, at Missouri after that. Those are two very tough games. Missouri could be looking for that key win to get them bowl eligible late in the year. And then Georgia at home, obviously, which is at the end of the year, you're catching them when you're beat up, banged up. So I don't think the schedule sets up very well for Kentucky. And finally, my third point, I don't buy the hype with Will Levis. I don't think he takes care of the football. Fumbling-wise, I feel like he has some turnover issues. I don't think he's dynamic enough to take a team that doesn't return many starters to a bunch of wins. I don't see the height that everybody else is seeing on Will Levis. So I just don't buy Kentucky being a number two or eight, especially a number one team in the East this year.
I want to say real quick, so I did say Tennessee was going to win nine games, okay, and poised for the upset. I also believe Kentucky – crazy, they could also win nine games as well. Would not surprise me if, you know, Kentucky beats Tennessee to get them, you know, the tiebreaker over them to finish second. But I think Kentucky sitting there at number two with a good coach, like, I know I just crapped on Mark Stoops for 30 seconds, but I think where Kentucky's going to be good is that they finally got a good program underneath them. He's been building and building and building, and it's finally got something that I think Kentucky, if they play their game of football, which they played last year, and they were very good last year, if they can play that same type of football and carry it over into this year, I think they're poised to do really good things in the East. And, like, you know, I'm high on Florida, put them a little bit lower, but I'm also high on Florida. I think they're one of the teams that could go into Death Valley and beat them. I mean, at the Swamp. So I think it's possible.
Is Kentucky the Ole Miss of the East? I'm sorry.
What do you mean by that?
Like, win-loss way. Like, just
– like. Not mediocre, but not like above average. We're like,
right, Right. They're right there in that middle part. They're
this year, I think Ole Miss and Kentucky compare very well together.
Yeah.
I think where it comes down to with what you're saying is that, you know, Ole Miss, we went through 4 years where we were the second worst team in the SEC. Yeah. And then we've had three really good years. Kentucky has done the exact same thing where they had a few good years. They were one of the worst teams in the SEC. Now they finally got over that hump and they're going through their three or four good seasons. And they may be at the end of that. I don't know, which I believe Mark Stoops is a good coach, but it's just like
Kentucky.
I could see that comparison.
Kentucky will never be a bottom two SEC East team again while Mark Stoops is there.
Yeah.
Until he gets a better job somewhere.
Too good of a culture, too good of a coach, and too good of a recruiter.
But the thing is, though, I'm positive that he has been offered jobs outside of Kentucky.
And he likes it. He likes being at Kentucky and building that culture there.
So if I remember right, before they hired Lincoln Riley after Bob Stoops retired, did they not reach out to Mark Stoops to come to Oklahoma?
They did.
Yeah, and he turned it down.
Yes. They did, in fact, according to all the rumors. I mean, you know, obviously we don't know exactly, but and now we're about out of time, so we'll finish it up with Georgia. And not much to talk about with Georgia. I mean, unlike Kentucky, they bring back only 10 starters, 7 on the offensive side, 3 on the defensive side, but they also bring in a class that has 17 4-stars and 5 5 stars. So they're not lacking for talent. The question I want to ask you about Georgia, besides Chuck, obviously, which Chuck has turned off his camera, so he might be asleep getting ready for school tomorrow. But does Georgia go undefeated?
Toby, you go first.
No, I don't believe anybody in the SEC goes undefeated this year. The reason why I say that is I think this year with the recruiting portal, with the transfer portal, I think the talent has spread throughout the SEC enough that I think somebody can upset Georgia. Like I said, I think Alabama's going to go 11-1. I also believe Georgia's going to go 11-1. I talked about Tennessee with the one big upset, and I called Alabama. I think a team like Kentucky is poised to have an upset. And I want to say it, and I believe it. I think they possibly could be that team that could upset Georgia.
Toby, you just argued with me, made your point about how that's not even possible.
No. So listen. So
whatever happens, you're gonna.
So I'm saying, you know, with the talent skill, I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm just saying, like it's borderline.
You just said they're going.
The Toby Tastic taking a night.
Yes, sir.
It's also midnight. It's also midnight.
Grady, does Georgia go undefeated?
I think they do because all of the games that could be trap games, they get at home. So they get Tennessee at home, they get Florida at home, and they get Oregon at home in that first weekend of the season. Of course, if I sack them on the road, I think they're
far they actually away. They actually have two neutral site games. Oregon is at
Atlanta.
Oregon's in Atlanta, which is a home game. I'll give them that. It's basically a home game. But then Florida is obviously played at Jacksonville like it usually is every year.
I think they'll beat Florida anyways. They get Kentucky on the road. I think talent level-wise, I think Georgia's just so much better than Kentucky. Saying that though, Kentucky, if they get to running the ball and it's a slow knockdown drag out game, maybe they could squeak one out. But I'm saying that Georgia, if you're going to play that kind of game, Georgia's going to win because talent goes a long way, but also depth goes really a long way, especially on November 19th in Lexington, Kentucky. So I don't know yet, but I would think that Georgia would win that ball game. And like I said, they get Tennessee at home, they get Florida at home. Like their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, 5, 6 out of their last 8 are at home, and those 2 games that are not at home is Mississippi State, Kentucky. So I think their schedule is really fit for them to go undefeated. So I'm going to say regular season, they're going to go undefeated. It just matters how Alabama plays as the year goes along and what goes on from there.
Yeah, so I'll finish it out because we are about at the hour mark. This is the Sports Hour Pod, so I got to stay right there. I don't think they go undefeated, not because of anything really with Georgia, like, you know, talent-wise. However, these are, you know, like I said, they're going to be placing 8 guys on the defensive side of the ball. freshman or 18-year-old college kids. They're going to make mistakes. There's going to be a team. They're going to make some mistakes throughout the year. And the SEC is too talented this year, I think, to top to bottom on both sides for a team like South Carolina at home, Auburn, just in general, Florida in a neutral site game, Tennessee on the road, but still very talented, Mississippi State at home, Kentucky at home. One of those teams is going to find a way to attack the mistakes that a young Georgia defense is going to make. It's only one, but I think they lose one along the way. I'm not sure to who, though, but I do still have them winning the East. Chuck, finish us out.
Kentucky upsets Georgia November 19th. I'm calling it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, end it off with that. But, guys, we're right at an hour, but this has been fun. I miss the pod so much. This has been awesome. Grady, go ahead.
The Cardinals are winning the Central.
Oh, so we're throwing MLB in here.
Now, if we're throwing MLB in there, then I'm going to take a bold take and say the Cubs finish fourth in the Central.
We got the Marlins. We got four more games with the Marlins.
Braves are choking right now, man. They dropped that doubleheader to the Mets. That was tough.
I was going to be honest, man. Baseball season ended 3 days ago. No,
the Cardinals
8 days ago.
Baseball season has just started. We hadn't lost a game since the break.
Have y'all really not?
7-0.
That's ridiculous. Hats off to the Cards. But anyway, guys,
September 3rd. September 3rd is what we really care about.
Come on. I agree with that. But, guys, thank you so much for listening or watching. We are so excited for the season 2. Let us know what you think. If you're on YouTube, leave a like and a comment down below and subscribe as well. Let us know what you think, what we can do. We don't want to just do the podcast. We want to do some more video content, maybe some, online head-to-head games of Madden, FIFA, something like that together. Something like that. We want to have fun with it. So, let us know what also you'd like us to talk about on the pod. Like I said, we're going to be trying to expand out, branch out this season to talk way more high school stuff along those lines, local sports. Excited about it. But, well, any final words from anybody?
Got the West next week. Big week next week.
Yes, sir. Tune in next week. Like he said, we're going through the West same way we did tonight, but the SEC West, so Ole Miss and State.
Yeah, the actual good part of the SEC.
And to all our golf listeners, Tony Finau is really, really playing good golf right
Man's
now.
Man's playing very good golf right now.
If you tune in next week, you get to see Toby grind on Peyton like Brian Kelly does on recruits.
No, incorrect. Incorrect. No. No, throw yes. The L.
No, no W. You turn that L, add another one to W.
Oh, man. Guys, I missed it. Thank you so much for listening. For Grady, for Toby, for Chuck, I'm Peyton. This has been the Sports Hour Podcast. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you again next Monday.